Tales. Music by Casket Bound.
Hello, and welcome to the Grimm's Tales podcast. And we're being frighteningly regular. This is more than one episode in a year. I'm here with my regular co-host, Rachel Haywire. Say hello, Rachel.
Hello, everybody.
I should briefly explain that Rachel sounds like she's recording in an underpass, because I think she is.
It's a place where there are many boats and some helicopters, but it has better Wi-Fi than my indoor occupancy.
Yes, so we apologize a little bit for the sound quality. I'll do what I can in post, but we're gonna make do anyway. So today, aircraft. So today we're talking about the mindfulness death cult and the way in which we are ordered to meditate now, slave. So Rachel, do you want to give us a brief intro and overview of today's topic?
Yeah. So for all of you punks who know the Dead Kennedys, there's a song called California Viralis. And one of the lyrics that Jello Biafra screams out is, mellow out or you will pay. Right? And, you know, the first time I heard that song, I didn't really know what he was talking about. But after living in a lot of cities, I know exactly what he was talking about. It's mellow out or you will pay. It's a good vibes only focus on mindfulness and meditation, no matter what's going on. The solution is for you to mindfulness, and, you know, let's just call it what it is, a death cult.
Yeah, it's the demand that you enter into mindfulness meditation, that you engage in yoga, that you, whatever slightly bullshitty new age practice that people can think of, or the most trite kind of advice, they will try and apply it to every problem, but it's never really a solution. It's only ever a mask, and it encourages a sort of spiritual complacency in people, where you don't deal with the underlying problem, you just become a detached hippie.
Vibes only. If your vibes are bad.
Oh, you're such a negative person.
Your negative energy is toxic. Get out of our community.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of that going on. That whole idea of energy vampires that's gone a little bit out of
energy
vogue.
Policing. There's the energy police everywhere. They police people's energy. It's like you're under arrest for your energy not being proper enough.
Your vibes.
Like right. If my energy was proper enough for the bourgeois funds, right? Maybe they would leave me alone. but no, yeah, you piss off the energy police, that'll get you canceled harder than a racist comment on Twitter.
Yeah. That's a whole bunch of different aspects to this. There's the cult-like behavior that's involved in it. There's the way in which it kind of papers over the cracks in society. There's the commodification that goes with it. There's the predatory practices where people are exploiting vulnerable people with their bullshit. There's the evangelical zeal of new converts who think that something that works for them will necessarily work for everybody else. There's the kind of spiritual libertarianism of prioritizing self-care.
I'm so sorry that you have cancer, but you know what really worked for me? I mean, besides seed oils, meditation. I was very, very mindful. I began focusing on the present. I joined a spiritual retreat. I met this guru, and you know, now my cancer is gone. So if you want to get rid of your cancer, you bitch better meditate.
Yeah.
All right. I'm getting crazy. These people are fucking nuts.
So this all comes under the kind of umbrella of New Age beliefs. I was just remembering, I just saw a survey recently of Americans, and weirdly, New Age beliefs cross over a huge amount of Americans, demographics. So the only ones that don't buy in to New Age stuff are the really hardcore Christians and the really hardcore atheists. Everyone else seems to buy in on some level on like essential oils or meditation or yeah, something like that. There's some kind of buy-in away from those two poles, which is strange when you think about it.
We live in a country of Buddhists that have replaced Christians. And as, you know, the true Buddhist would say, this isn't real Buddhism. But it's a kind of Buddhism 2.0, a corporate Buddhism. And you see it in any urban hub. You know, you see independent coffee shops and record stores. They get shut down. And then, you know, there's a chakra cafe and there's a yoga shop and there's a mindfulness boutique, and suddenly your friends' bands can't play any more shows because all of the venues are gone. And if you're upset about that, it's because you've got harsh vibes. Not because you're upset that the venue shut down, but because you're not going with the flow. So you better get to that organic food store. You know, meditate now, sleep.
Did China sell Tibet to Disney or something? Is that what happened?
You know, I think it did. I actually believe this is the correct take.
Well, they're getting kicked out of Florida, so I guess, yeah, Disneyland in Tibet is the next thing.
It's so dystopian, but utopian at the same time, you know?
It's perfect in its catastrophic awfulness. So what do you understand mindfulness meditation to be, even?
Well, there's meditation in the ancient traditional sense of the word, which means being present with oneself and turning off your thoughts so you can be in touch with the universe, which there is nothing wrong with. The issue is that when mindfulness kind of becomes a one-size-fits-all solution to every single thing that goes wrong, and then, you know, there's a book called Nick Mindfulness that actually touches on the commodification of spirituality. So, you know, I would say that mindfulness at its core is really just stopping your thoughts and focusing on your environment. But mindfulness today, it's a type of complacency. It's a refusal to think. It's a refusal to engage with the past and the future, to only be in the now, to always be vibing, to ignore analytical concepts, to ignore all sorts of layers and nuances, and just to be only vibing. That's all there is.
See, I've actually had some direct experience with this and the negative side of it. I've got mental health issues. I'm bonkers. I have anxiety and depression, which means I tend to ruminate a lot. And I tend to engage in runaway analytical thinking and get really bad anxiety, right? So a couple of times I've had therapists or whatever lead me through mindfulness meditation.
Yeah.
And it's great for getting you out of that panic in the moment, right? But it doesn't actually solve the problem or deal with any of the root causes of the anxiety.
Right. I mean, okay, so when I'm having a good time, I am getting out of my head, and I'm, for all, you know, practical purposes, meditating, and I'm dancing at a club and I enjoy the music. The issue is that if I or anybody else is having a hard time, and, you know, they just make a post online like, "Hello world, I'm having a hard time." They get hundreds of, "Have you tried meditation? Have you heard of mindfulness? Have you tried meditation? Have you tried meditation? Have you tried meditation?" It's like,
yeah,
wow. You know, this is a frantic cult. You talk about having mental health issues, which I certainly have my share of. But isn't a lot of mental health, you know, or mental health issues, aren't they kind of like a reaction to an insane society, you know, sane in an insane world?
Yeah. Yeah. And then let's see why I don't appreciate the mindfulness so much. While it might be a useful tool for getting out of a panic, right? It doesn't address the actual problem. It's encouraging you to ignore the problem and focus inwardly on yourself. Yeah, and live in the moment. But that doesn't deal with any past trauma that you're trying to process, and it doesn't deal with any problems that are coming up in the future. It just lets you ignore it all for 30 seconds or whatever to get your heart rate back under control.
Right, and there might be something that's actually wrong. You know, like, there just might be something going on that isn't okay.
Yeah.
And the answer to that isn't to just, like, focus on your breathing and become one with the moment. The answer is to figure out what you're going to do, you know, and that does create a lot of anxiety. If you're in a rough situation, if you've experienced trauma, if you've experienced a survival mode of thinking, if you've had things go very, very bad, well, you need to take action, you know, and a lot of people, you're talking about preying on people's vulnerabilities. A lot of people are in very abusive, very economically vulnerable and compromising situations, and they don't really know how to get out of it, you know? And people tell them, well, you know, you meditate. And then I just think that that's morally corrupt.
Yeah, it doesn't actually help you deal with the issue. It doesn't solve the problem. It's not practical advice. At best, it's a momentary salve for whatever it is that's setting you off. But it doesn't solve anything. And it's much easier than actually helping. You know?
Well, I think they don't really want you to help. I think they just want you to be quiet. They just want you to, like, shut up and meditate, slave. You know, they only want harmony. You know, who are they? Well, there are a lot of institutions that seem to have created policies that are very focused on mindfulness training. You see it at the Amazon, you know, warehouses. They have meditation booths there.
Yeah,
you know,
despair
they
booths.
They look a little bit more like something out of a Kafka novel.
Yeah.
You know, at Google, they force all of their employees to do mindfulness to the extreme. I think it's like every day. Don't quote me on that. But it's the majority of these companies, they have a spiritual practice to make their employees more complacent. And that is the reason that they have these courses as an essential part of, you know, working at these companies. Like, if you don't participate in these mindfulness seminars, you can lose your job.
Yeah.
Because, well, guess what? When people aren't practicing mindfulness, they might have their own opinions. You don't want that.
That's scary. That's like it's a step beyond the kind of, you know, the mining towns and the company store to the point where the company is a cult.
It is a cult. These new cultists are a cult. And I think that there is definitely a spiritual cleansing of sorts. There's a deliberate attempt to kick people who are rough around the edges out of society because we create too much entropy, right? There's entropy, and they're like, no, stop it. Meditate.
Yeah.
And that'll give you anxiety. Like, that will give you more anxiety.
Yeah. And they're constantly policing. Groups are constantly policing themselves, looking for toxic individuals who are creating an unsafe environment.
Line up those toxic energy. Oh my god, line them up. Line them up against the wall. They got toxic energy.
You never know who's going to be next.
Right. Maybe you. Right? And then you get anxiety about people policing your anxiety. Then you get like a meta anxiety. Even if you've like healed through all your trauma, you've solved your difficult issues, you've ascended out of your suffering, you're going to have anxiety about people telling you to chill out, because that's what you were told before, you know? Yeah. Now you get a new anxiety.
Yeah. If I open up about my problems and try and get people to help me, are they going to judge me, call me negative, and throw me out?
They'll tell you to meditate. Jeff Gold!
Definitely. I think an aspect to it is something I think we've talked about before when we've touched on healthcare, because I think this is much more of a thing in the States. Like, if you talk about a medical problem or a psychiatric problem on social media or somewhere online, you will get bombarded with advice and home remedies and so on, you know, from Americans, because they can't afford proper healthcare. So everyone's like, oh, just put cider vinegar on it or shit like that. And mindfulness is the cider vinegar of psychology.
Oh, yeah. That's a really good way of putting it. And it is a shame because I do feel like mindfulness at its core is just paying attention. And there's nothing wrong with paying attention. We do get stuck in our heads, you know, and maybe it's good to get out of our heads and appreciate the moment. There's nothing inherently wrong with that. But when people take a concept and they run with it to the winds and make it the be-all, end-all solution to all things, they're actually doing a big disservice to it. And what happens is people that would benefit from mindfulness, they're actually drawn away from it because of the way that it's marketed. They just find it annoying. You know, they don't want to hear about mindfulness all the time. You know, maybe it would have benefited them before.
Yeah. I think for men, this, go lift weights is kind of the same thing.
Really? Yeah.
Like that's going to fix everything.
Do you even lift, bro? It's like, do you even meditate, girl?
Yeah.
It is similar, you know, because all the girls on Instagram that are like these chakra influencers do seem to have a parallel in the male bodybuilding community. And, you know, like their accounts are full of self-help quotes that are very mundane.
Yeah.
Like, don't just be good, be the best. And then there's like a picture of them, you know, like lifting a weight or like on a yoga mat. Like,
yeah.
Okay. Thanks for sharing that bit of wisdom with me. You're a great influencer. I'm going to like that.
Yeah. And it's always the most shallow shit.
Some people say that you should give up. I say that you should try harder.
And I say you should terminate with extreme prejudice.
Right. Like, I was always told that I couldn't become, you know, this. Now I'm a that. Hashtag self-care. Hashtag yoga. Hashtag mindfulness. Hashtag buy my stupid ass shit.
If you're going to fail like a nuclear meltdown. That's what I think.
I like that. I like that on its own. I'm actually going to quote that and start a new Instagram account.
Fail spectacularly. Yeah, that's the commodification side of it, though, isn't it? It seems like an easy way to exploit people, to exploit an audience, to gain an audience, is to just peddle this horse shit.
Right. Then, it really is.
And then sell some essential oils and some fitness wear on top of it, you know?
Well, you know, it's like there's nothing wrong with going to the gym. There's nothing wrong with lifting weights. But when an entire community is posting pictures of themselves lifting weights with boring self-help posts, there is something wrong with that.
That's
a mass insanity. That's not an individual mental health issue. That is insanity in groups, in mass.
Yeah, and if these oils were so essential, how come most of humanity has managed to do without them for the vast majority of human existence? That doesn't exactly say essential.
Essential oils. Is that like essential workers?
Dude,
like only these oils can be sprayed during a pandemic. Mm. You know, like put this oil on you, but those others, you don't need them. They're not as essential as these oils over here.
Yeah. Do you think people like Jordan Peterson fall into this same sort of self-help guru thing?
I think a lot of these people become these self-help gurus because that's the content that people consume, I guess. That's the stuff the majority of people want to read. I don't know. I mean, it seems kind of like sad and pathetic, but maybe that's just what the market wants.
With him, I just don't understand how anyone is taking advice from a man whose life is so not together in any way, shape, or form.
I mean, I think they're just looking for a father figure.
Yeah, like that must be part of it, I think.
Jesus. You know, it's like your own personal Jesus is kind of like a right-wing necessity. You know, whether it's, you know, Jesus Christ or Jordan Peterson, they've got their Jesus. And, you know, it's I think it's very... It's almost like Disney in a way. Like, you know, you've got the Disney princess.
You've
got a hero of the story, protagonist of the movement. You know, the everyman with the spiritual knowledge, you know. And I guess, that, like, I mean, we can just pretty much agree, right, that the majority of people, they don't really want to deal with the pain of being an independent thinker. It's just too painful for them.
And the effort.
And the passion and the pain and the suffering and, you know, all those terrible things that make you write angry music.
Yeah.
Literature, the shit that gets you into fucked up video games and comic books and that stuff.
Yeah.
All that stuff. You could have just listened to the guru. You know, you could just went to the seminar.
Yeah. Easy answers that don't work.
Yeah. There's just a certain type of a harmony over everything. Harmony over others, you know. Anything to keep the harmony. You know, and if you disrupt the harmony, you just, like, end up, you might as well just check out the guru, because you don't want to deal with the social consequences of walking your own path.
Yeah. It's really striking to me how rapid the commodification of alternative cultures and ideas has become now. Like, some new idea can bubble up and it seems like it's 5 minutes before it's corporatized. And all of this stuff, right? Yeah, this was all part of the hippie countercultural movement, you know, transcendental meditation and incense and yoga. And cannabis has become commodified.
Right. Well, that's a good thing in a way, because now, you know, you can just get it at the store. I mean, I think it's better when, you know, like LSD and MDMA, when they become legalized and people start using them for therapeutic treatment. You know, that's real help for anxiety and PTSD and depression.
But weed nerds.
Actually work.
Weed nerds are so boring, though.
Yeah, they are.
Oh, this is a blend of this and that. It's got this chemical and that chemical, and the best way to smoke it is like, and we find it if you pair this with a steak. Yeah, no, fuck off.
I'd rather have weed nerds than people buying weed. Like, yes,
they're just tech bros with green thumbs.
Damn, that was so far left, I almost called up Stalin. I literally just had Stalin ready on the speed dialer.
We used to have resin that was smuggled over in diesel barrels, and we were happy.
Back when we were punks, we smoked weed out of our own garden. Now you can just go to the store and listen to a weed bro talk about his strands.
Oh dear. So yeah, I did mention that when we were doing prep for the show, I did mention Russell Brand, and you didn't know who he was.
I still don't know who he is. I'm sorry.
Yeah. But he
I don't
strikes
know if it's okay to admit that.
He strikes me as a particular brand of the kind of evangelical new convert, because he used to be like this sex and drugs addict. Fairly funny comedian sometimes with a fair wind behind him, but ever since he got off the drugs and the nookie, he's just become this kind of weird internet Jesus personality.
Right.
Well,
I see that a lot, actually. People reform and rebrand as spiritual types.
Yeah. There's nothing so zealous as a new convert, and him in particular, he just seems to have gone progressively further and further off the rails. But he's been accused of being right wing now, which I don't think he is at all. I just think he's a shallow cunt.
Right. Okay. I mean, maybe they're just appealing to what people want. Isn't it just what people are looking for now? You know, they feel kind of disconnected from religion. They feel disconnected from atheism, and they feel disconnected from liberal capitalism. So spiritual, you know, hype is kind of like a new alternative for them.
Yeah, and it's everything this decade seems to boil down to, well, and previous decade, seems to boil down to identity, right? And, you know, I do yoga is an identity now, or I meditate is an identity.
That's so sad, though, that people base their identity on things like that. There's just something so inherently empty about that.
Well, you can't define yourself by your work anymore, because job security doesn't exist, and if you're an artist or a musician, it is almost impossibly difficult to make it now. The internet has fucked up publishing and music and comics and all sorts of other things, sometimes in a good way. But if you want to actually make it and make a living doing these things, it's a lot more difficult. So you can't really define yourself by those things anymore. So I think people are casting about for something.
I do see a lot of girls that I know that used to be musicians have now become chakra influencers. My name for them is chakra influencers. And it's like, what happened to the music, right? Like, why weren't you just working on this incredible album? And, you know, they're like, well, I found self-care now. I'm not into that negative stuff anymore. You know, here's a link to my essential oils. And it's like, all right.
Yeah.
I don't want you to make any more music because it's going to suck. I don't want to listen to it. So I'm going to listen to your old music and, you know, and that's it.
Yeah. And here's a link to my OnlyFans where I work on my root chakra with a quartz butt plug. Yeah.
Only chakras. Only
yours. Isn't the ultimate expression of that kind of vacuous cod spirituality Gwyneth Paltrow's goop, though?
Wait, okay. I don't know exactly what that is, but I did hear about a girl who sold birds in jars.
I get that. That's too apt a metaphor, though, I think.
Yeah, they were like NFTs of her birds. I mean, she's kind of a genius for like capitalizing on the cultural
language. Yeah.
She's riding that tiger like a motherfucker. I mean, good for her.
Yeah, didn't she cause herself all kind of medical problems, though, from farting too much?
Probably. If you're farting that much, then
you're going to
something comes out the other end.
You're going to do yourself a mischief. I had a friend...
I did it again!
I had a friend at primary school when we were like 6 or 7 or something, that used to put his farts in a tin and bring them into school.
Why?
Because he was very proud of his ability to fart.
This is a very modern phenomenon.
I'm just pointing out, you know, people used to do it for fun. Now it's just gone all commercial.
Oh, okay. So back in the day.
Back in the day.
My friends, they were like fart artists.
Yeah.
Yeah, now farting has become all corporate.
Yeah. If
bring
even...
back the original fart hipster.
Yeah. Who just did it for the art. Not to make a buck, right? Play from your fucking... Fart from your heart.
Fart from your ass. Don't put it on the television set and fart and you fart all alone and you get paid in mud. I don't know. I think that it's just at such a level of absurdity now that it's pretty much like whoever has the funniest meme about another meme, about another meme, about another meme, and then throw in some spiritual yappy shit.
Yeah. I mean, how much do you think this is responsible for the fact that nobody seems to have the guts to try and change anything? Right, because across
not. Because why change anything when you can focus on your breathing? Why change anything when you can be in your body?
Yeah, and the
meditate,
state
slave. I keep saying it.
Drive it home. Turn it into a meme.
Right.
I mean, the status quo does feel quite unassailable, and I guess if you can't change reality, then retreating into a fantasy or into yourself is certainly tempting. It's one way of, well, it doesn't deal with it, but it's one way of dealing with it.
It's not really retreating into yourself. It's retreating outside yourself. It's ignoring yourself and only focusing on your environment.
Well, this whole trend for self-care just
Yeah,
it strikes me as very, very selfish and avoidant.
Well, that's the thing, is the messages for all these stuff is very contradictory, because, you know, it's like self-care, you know, take a bubble bath with some fancy candles and buy a gratitude journal and take a picture of it and post it online for your fans. But then there's also the ego is bad, don't have a self, don't have thoughts, don't have an identity, you know, only be in the moment. There's all these contradictory messages. Like, how can you be a self-care goddess if you're not allowed to have a self?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, and well, and if you're a self-care influencer, you're feeding on all those likes and followers and everything that you're getting.
It's not bad self-care to be addicted to likes. Seems like that's self not caring.
It's wanting other people to care for you.
It's like if you're really caring for yourself, then you're not going to be addicted to likes. You're not going to need it.
Yeah. I mean, we all want these connections with one another. You know, we all want to feel that sense of community. And when people are telling you to, have you tried meditation? It's kind of pretending to care for you. They don't actually want to listen to your actual problems or offer any practical solutions, but they're trying to help in their way, aren't they?
They're like armchair philanthropists, but they're also just complete yuppies who have never had to deal with anything difficult in their entire lives. And because their lives have been easy crazy, they assume that everybody else's lives were to be the same if they just thought positively. Because, you know, one time they had a cousin who was mean to them, and they thought positively. And the cousin was nice to them the next day.
Yeah, and coincidence is not a thing that ever happens.
Right. I had an abusive cousin. I manifested positivity. Now he's taking me to the Bahamas.
that is maybe the most horrendous and negative part of this whole
victim blaming. Victim blaming. Yeah. You manifested your own abuse because of your thoughts.
Yeah,
isn't this what these people are supposed to be against? Yeah,
supposed to be against the victim blaming, but you know, it's your own fault. You got a tumor from your negative thinking.
Right. If you've got AIDS, maybe you should have manifested differently, bitch.
Yeah.
Manifest not having AIDS.
Yeah.
You know.
Or on the right wing, it's people saying, well, stop being poor, right?
Stop being poor.
It's the same.
Manifest wealth.
Yeah. It's the same shit expressed by two different sort of paradigms, I guess. You know, manifest positivity and stop being poor come from the same sort of place.
Victim blaming. Absolutely. I do think it's more prominent, though, like on the spiritual left than on the conservative right, because the conservative right, for all its greedy flaws, will at least be open and honest if they don't like you. They'll be like, you're disgusting because you look like a faggot, you know? And by the way, you also look like a tranny, and you also look like a homeless junkie because your physique is gross, right? You know? So they'll just be upfront, where somebody on the left will be like, I think you're really valuable, but the way that you think is causing you to suffer because the way that you're manifesting is just very, very negative. So if you want to stop having depression, then you should try focusing on happiness.
I'm just always struck when someone tries that line of bullshit with me. It's like, right, okay, you do this practice, yeah. You think positively and you try and reach out into the world and draw positive vibes back to you. And you say this works for you, and yet here I am having this conversation with you, and I think you're full of shit. So
Right. Well, maybe they manifested your thinking they were full of shit. Maybe they manifested that. If they would have thought more positively, you would have believed them.
Well, then they must be having negative thoughts. So clearly it doesn't work.
Well, I, for one, think that their energy is toxic. We should immediately get them out of our community. Your energy is toxic. get the fuck out.
How much of this do you think is true believers, right, that really believe what they're saying, and how much of it is people exploiting others?
Okay, so this is a really good question. I think that being a true believer is part of it, you know? It's the whole brainwashing people, and then there's the your thoughts create your reality. Well, if you brainwash people to believe that their thoughts create the reality, then you have true believers believing that their thoughts create their own reality. So it becomes a metal. There's a bunch of zombies thinking that their thoughts are creating reality because they're brainwashed to believe it. But, you know, if they believe their thoughts create reality, they might act in accordance with their thoughts, and then everything will seem to be accurately happening until they end up going through an illness or a disease or the death of a family member or poverty or, you know, anything bad. You know, they'll be, like, in a ditch, you know, thinking positively, and they'll be like, wait a minute, my thoughts don't create reality. Fuck, man. Yeah, welcome to reality. But then now you're in reality.
So it's a kind of group mutually reinforced hallucination, a bubble of hyper reality. But when the bubble gets burst, it only gets burst for individuals, not the group.
Yeah, that's very apt, actually. And I think that's the intentional, that's by design.
And I do think some people end up buying their own bullshit. Like, it starts out with them being exploitative, at least somewhat deliberately. But then all these people fall for it. They get loads of followers. They get loads of support and psychological reinforcement for doing what they're doing.
Yeah, there are definitely predatory guru types. I mean, everybody from Elmer and Heather to all the proteges. And, you know, there's that one girl online. She's selling, like, these radical self-love courses. And she gets, like, really rich teenagers to, like, pay her $1,000 an hour to, like, talk about how great they are, you know? And the teenage girls would be like, well, I'm having a hard time with my family. And then, you know, the guru will be like, you are beautiful. You are love. You know, thanks for the thousand. You know? it's really fucked up, dude. It's so disturbing because it's obvious that she knows that she's playing on vulnerable people. You know, this is a smart lady. Her name is Gayla Darling, by the way. I didn't want to drop her name, but oh well. You know,
oops.
Gayla Darling, the article, the name of her book is Radical Self-Love. Maybe I'm plugging her at this point. But, you know, you go to her website and you look at her courses, and she's charging people an arm and a leg to tell them that they're pretty.
And all this time, I've been being friends with people without charging.
You should send
them
an invoice.
Yeah. 20 years of friendship at £1,000 per session.
I just don't get, like, why that, you know. I think the reason they're willing to pay so much, it's not even so they can feel better about themselves. It's so they can tell people that they took the course.
Right.
It's so they can be like, oh, I know her.
So it's kind of micro-celebrity plus flaunting wealth.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Because that used to be the kind of negative stereotype of people in California, wasn't it? That they were all in therapy.
LA.
Yeah.
LA, you know, like Santa Monica, you know, they're very, very healing. You know, it's all about healing, but it's, like, really extensive healing. And then it's, like, flaunting their healing to a bunch of people. You know, it's who can be the most healed.
Yeah, but now it seems like it's everyone.
Except for you and me. And
yes. The last two holdouts.
Yeah. Turn us into those zombie chakra.
I don't trust this newfangled wheel invention. Fire. Difficult. Who are you kidding?
Difficult.
Yes. It is, because it stops us dealing with the issues. Like, if you're being oppressed by your government, you know, doing downward dog isn't going to solve the problem.
It depends on how far down you go.
Yeah, I guess it is presenting, so it makes things easier for some people. But
I mean, eventually, you go down far enough, you get the government kind of, the government works for you, right?
Yeah, go down far enough, you choke.
Down, 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 government, 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 government.
Yeah, or if your work isn't giving you your pay rise, right? Shutting yourself off in your despair chamber in your Amazon factory, that's not going to help.
Hey, your own personal bar.
Yeah. I mean, at least...
I think we should round up all of the workers and force them to meditate out of this toxic mentality. You know, we should teach them to make art, and we should teach them to write songs, and teach them to read books. We should take those Amazon boxes and uplift these workers.
Attention, peons. Report to the meditation chamber.
Right. Oh, man.
It's not that we...
Is this going to end? It's just, like, my question about all of this. Like, will we ever stop? Will there be something that comes and takes its place? Is it like crypto? Is it on its last legs? Are we going to laugh at it in 10 years?
I don't know.
Are we laughing at it now? I mean, we're laughing at it now.
Yeah, but we're, like, the crazy jackals at the edge of society.
Right. I
don't know. See, I used to think... And I think it did hold true for a very long time that things moved in cycles, right?
Mm-hmm.
That ideas came along, had their time in the sun. We kept the bits that were good, and then we moved on to the next thing. But nothing seems to die anymore. Nothing
1,000 years of mindfulness.
Yeah.
10,000 years.
Like we've touched on it before in previous shows, how you don't really have youth culture movements anymore, right?
Yeah.
And this is similar. Like, this stuff has been going on at a pretty high level for, well, you know, you referenced Dead Kennedys. So that's going right the way back to the 80s.
Yeah.
You know? And it hasn't gone away. It's gotten worse. And
new incarnations of it. You know, for a while, it was very, like, Buddhist, corporate, Zen 2.0, and... You know, it is still that, but now it's a little bit more about astrology. You know, now there's that whole angle.
Does that come back again? Because that was very 70s, astrology
yeah.
thing.
That's come back, and now you've got, like, all the girls are witches, right? All the the pagan revival. So there's different incarnations of it.
Yeah, though we had that in the 90s. So maybe it is cycles, but they're just cycling quicker?
I think there's cycles... They do cycle quicker. I think a lot of them come from the same source, though, which is just neo-spirituality, which I guess is people, like, not being able to live in a world where they don't have a god and finding out a new way to cope with it.
Yeah. But, the witchcraft thing, I would say that is part of all of this as well. Maybe it's a little bit more fringy than the stuff we've talked about so far, but it's all the kind of sanitized Wicca type stuff. Not even as edgy as Wicca, right?
Right. Not the hardcore Satanist stuff that I was into when I was younger.
Yeah.
I can't.
It's lighting a scented candle and, you know, burning the name of the boy you fancy. It's not running through the woods, slitting the throats of lambs and smearing yourself with menstrual blood. Yeah, it's not that.
Give it a couple years. We're coming back. Yeah. There's going to be a big revolution. You just wait.
Yeah, maybe. Well, no, I'm semi-serious because there has been a big revival in things like Ásatrú, sort of Norse-type religion, amongst the kind of the masculine woo merchants.
That's true.
Yeah, but that's not getting as much traction because people think that sort of Nordic paganism is necessarily tied to fascism. which it isn't.
If anything is fascist, it's symbology and apology.
anyone who thinks Norse mythology fits with reactionary conservatism has never read anything about Loki. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, American God, you know, explains that pretty well. You know.
Yeah. Gaiman did do a...
The trickster has always been the outcast in society that's sort of in between the two worlds.
Yeah, we...
That. You know, you've got, like, Prometheus and the fire. You know, there's a lot of, you know, connections between these mythological entities and how they relate to the wider whole after retaining a spiritual knowledge from above.
Yeah. See, I think the problem with all spirituality is that people take it seriously rather than treating it as metaphorical stories. But then, yeah, I'm an annoying atheist, so yeah, that's how I would feel.
Is it possible that, you know, because I did read, I think it was in Skeptic magazine, and it was somebody like Michael Shermer who had said that there are a subset of atheists that choose to believe in God because they know it will benefit them, even though they know God doesn't exist. And they know that beyond a reasonable doubt, they train their minds to believe in God because of the practical implications.
So, I mean, in the States, you can't get elected if you're an atheist, pretty much. And there can be severe problems of social ostracism and so on, less so in Europe and so on. But people will pretend, like they will go to church and so on. And there are definite benefits to the kind of social cohesion that comes from being part of a group like that. But you can get that from evening classes or, you know, joining a football team or whatever. You can get the same benefits.
Yeah, I do think that we are herd animals at our core, you know, unless we're professional outcasts. Kind of hard to not have some kind of entity to believe in, whether it's God or mindfulness or, you know, some vegan entity.
Crom laughs at you from his mountain. Ha ha ha.
Do
you think there's any hope for anything genuine to come in and take over from this? Or is anything anyone tries just going to end up being commodified again?
Capitalist realism, I'd say it always comes back to small communities. You know, like, you select the people that you want to hang out with, and you build projects with them, and you do it on your own terms, and you do it based on what you're personally interested in, what makes you happy, what gives you inspiration, and you're not focused on an algorithm or, you know, appeasing people or status, and you have a genuine, pure expression of creation. And I think that's the biggest hope that we have, is just a genuine, authentic expression of people not trying to fit into some algorithm.
Yeah, but like, if you're trying to form a group like that, you've got to find other people, which means you have to navigate the algorithms to find the people.
Right, it used to be easier, you know, you could just, like, start a factory, like Andy Warhol, you know. I was watching his documentary on Netflix, and basically, he brought together a bunch of mystics and outcasts and all walks of life and society, and he just brought them together and formed his own art scene, you know, and that was something that you could do back then. You know, it is a lot harder now, but, you know, you can do many versions of that. You know, you can start a subculture and get people involved that you meet online and invite them all to an event and book the bands to play and book the artists to display their work. You can get independent filmmakers and comic book artists to give talks and screen their movies. I mean, and you can do all that. I mean, not everybody has, you know, the fuck you money or the funding to do that. And a lot of people that end up doing that end up going down. And, you know, there was a story, I think it was BuzzFeed, about that guy, I forget his name, but basically it was this contrarian filmmaker who started an underground film festival, you know, and he brought together all these weirdos. And he basically died, you know, like the end of the article is like, he ended up dead.
Yeah.
You know, it's really disturbing. Like, what is that thing?
Yeah, well.
He died. Boom.
Yeah. So he manifested negativity. And it got him. well, that kind of takes us back to this whole thing of the pouncing on other people as being negative presences, energy vampires. There was an example the other day, a whole small horror press outfit that has been publishing edgy horror for a few years just completely went belly up because of a summary of the premise of one of the books that were coming out that people decided was full of right-wing dog whistles and racism, and so the whole company went belly up.
Can I ask what made people think that?
So it was called Silver Shamrock Press, I think, and the story was about, well, it's a story that's been done before, some bioengineered plague that's designed to take out, in this case, white people, right? To just eliminate Caucasians. There have been other stories about similar sorts of ideas that haven't been regarded as racist.
I'm not saying cancel it. Yeah. I'm not saying there haven't. I'm just saying, like, that does sound pretty racist.
Well, it sounds like the bad guys in the book are racist, is what it sounds like.
Wait, so were the people taking out the whites the bad guys or the good guys?
The bad guys. Maybe that's the problem. They should have been the good guys.
Okay. Interesting.
I don't know, but the thing is, yeah, it might be a work of right wing trash. Who knows?
But how do you know if it's satire, if it's commentary, if it's critique, if it's irony, if it's, you know, like, how do you know the intentions of the creator?
Well, exactly. Now we'll never know because it's not going to be published, so no one will ever be able to judge. And all of that happened purely because they put something out that some people perceived in a negative way and couldn't abide.
That's right? I mean, and even if they were just, like, right-wing trolls, that doesn't mean they shouldn't be able to get their art out there. I mean, whatever your message is, if you're not hurting somebody, you should be able to, like, release your material. I mean, that seems like, you know, human rights.
But you compare that, right? So that's some people putting out stories, which can't really hurt anybody, right? Yeah. But these New Age gurus... But these New Age gurus are selling people on bullshit that we know doesn't work and getting away with it, right?
Yeah, which I think, you know, is very morally dubious. If you're telling somebody that you have a cure for cancer, you know, and you're just selling them, like, some plants to, like, put in their tea... And you're charging them in insane rates.
Yeah.
You know, that seems more cancelable than somebody doing some fan fiction.
Yeah.
You know? if you're going to cancel somebody.
Yeah, shouldn't it be for something genuinely, like, exploitative and shit?
That actually hurts people. Yeah, I would say yeah. I mean, maybe there will be tougher regulations on that kind of thing. There are some people who have talked about not being able to do certain spiritual things because they're not medically viable, and there are a lot of hoops that they have to jump through. And, you know, I think that it's, I don't even know how I feel about that, to be honest, because I do feel like people should be able to pretty much do what they want if they're not hurting anybody, you know, but I think we should discourage that kind of practice. Same time,
yeah, it's the hurting people part, because I mean, like tarot readers and fortune tellers and things, they, you know, telephone psychics, they have to have a disclaimer that it's for entertainment purposes only, right? Yeah. But that doesn't stop anyone from taking it too seriously, and it doesn't mean people aren't getting exploited. So at what point do we as a society have to take responsibility for people being exploited? And
I don't know. I mean, maybe we should just have more information out there about how predatory these people are. You know, we should make videos and do podcasts about these death cults and spread awareness in our networks.
Yeah. Call it what it is to its face.
Right. Yeah. I think there's a lot of validity in just talking openly about something and making it acceptable for other people to talk about. Because you can have a bunch of people afraid to mention something because they don't want to upset the herd. They don't want to ruffle any feathers. But if enough people start saying it, then it becomes okay to say. And, you know, then the feathers get ruffled and things change a bit, right?
Yeah. So you heard it here. Confront people on their bullshit.
Right. Next time that you see some chakra energy police telling you that you can cure your diseases with some essential oils, you say you are a member of a death cult. I do not believe in your lies. What you are doing is unethical and stupid. And by the way, I will never like your Instagram.
Yes.
You know, and just see how that sits with it. Yes. See how that feels. Let them revel in their own toxicity.
Threaten to unfollow them and give them more one-star rating.
Right. And then you can put bad vibes. as your review for them. Turn it around.
Yeah. Bad vibes.
This person gave me bad vibes with their fake healing potion. Yeah.
Well, I think we're about done.
We're pretty much done. And now that we've completed this show, if you want to tell either of us that we actually should just meditate, well, we might kill you.
I may manifest negativity in your direction should you do such a thing.
I'll manifest a virus on your Windows operating system. You'll wish you never told me to meditate.
Okay, well, we'll draw it to a close there. If you've got any topics that you'd like us to tackle or any feedback, please leave a comment and so on, and do follow us wherever you get your podcasts. Good night.
Night.
Grimm's Tales. Music by Casket Bound.